Well, greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in here tonight. Praise Yahweh. As we're going to get into the Bible tonight, and we're going to go to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and try to discover just exactly what the will of our Heavenly Father is upon the earth. Now, in the book of Matthew, the famous prayer that our Messiah prayed in the garden was, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done." Is the world in the will of the Father? Is planet Earth under the influence and the direction of our Heavenly Father? The answer is overwhelmingly in the negative. Now, what about negative reactions to the Father? Those who profess godliness and don't perform up to the word expectations. Negative emotions basically are evil in their intentions. The Bible says that a man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can search it? Negative emotions or negative thoughts are collective energies that come up before the Father. Every once in a while, the measurement of the earth and the conditions are measured by the Father, the controller, if you will, the owner of earth. He owns the property. He owns it outright, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, he actually loaned it out to the dressers called the garden. Now, notice this. Matthew chapter 25, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your all, for our lamps are gone out." Now, a lamp in darkness, make sure that the light in you be not darkness. A lot of people have light, but it always keeps coming up in the negative realm. And the negative realm is where Satan dwells. He dwells on the negative side of your carnality. The Bible says the carnal man is not subject to God, and neither indeed can be. Yet it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. As heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways, this is God speaking, higher than yours. Matthew 15:14, "Let them alone. They that be blind will be the leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." What about the negative emotions that are basically evil? These are the people that say, "Oh, we're in charge of planet Earth. We make it happen." But you notice it's always against the will of the Word of God. Oh, yes, they have a way to seem like. Oh, for pretense, long prayers, men's admiration in mind. They love the basic fundamentals of praise and honor from one from another. And the Bible said, full well, you break the will of God or the will of the Father, or you cease to do my will to do yours, and full well you reject the commandments of God to keep the tradition. Well, I can understand tonight that the world is basically out of step with the Father and the times of the Father, because the Father prophesied himself that these times would come, and he's right on the money. The reason I believe that the Bible is inspired, the biggest reason I believe it, is because I know that it's written in code, And let me give you a scripture to prove that. Listen to me. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. And in them it is fulfilled the prophecy of Elijah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. Oh, we've got more hearers probably going to church than we've ever had since the conception of Christ. The teachings of Christ upon the earth are many. He said that they would say, oh, Christ is here and Christ is there. And so, hearing they shall hear, but shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. Why? Then he answers it in the 15th verse. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. The foolish said, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, and not so. You see, ladies and gentlemen, everybody has to go to the well to get their own oil. Every man must bear his own burden. Every man must seek his own soul salvation. And then he is responsible for his teachings. Paul said, if I don't practice what I preach, I become a castaway. Oh, yes, it's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Many will turn from the word to keep their own tradition. They'll go about keeping their tradition. It's just as easy, really, to conform to the word as it is to conform to the world. There's really no difference. You say, oh, the rewards are much more better if I go along with the world. I belong to a world system. I'm a member of the elite club, and they receive me. But if I turn to Yahweh and begin to keep his laws and his customs and his doings and keep his sayings, then I'm hated, despised, cast out, unaffiliated, disassociated with all walks of creeds and dogmas and religion. Is his will really being done? Negativity can lead to downward spirals of your life. It can lead to violence, hatred, violence, emulation, strife, envy, jealousy, wrath, perversions, and it could go on and on and on. In a unsanctified heart, it's a breeding ground for negative emotions where the will of God or the will of the Father, which is prayed in the prayer of Matthew, cannot be done. The great power and its number of negativity within the mind of man. The Bible said that man, God made man upright, but he sought out. Listen to me now, and I don't know why we do this. It's probably a natural thing for us to do this. God made a man upright, but he sought out many inventions. Well, are these inventions that we have got today to basically, fundamentally, bring us to the age that we're in? Yeah, we're in a modern age. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice to go back to the land where, I mean, I couldn't wait to get off the farm in the 50s. And now, hot dog, I can't wait to get back on one. Dr. Gary and I were talking earlier this evening about some property down in Missouri for community living. And this is a dream that's shared by those who are wanting to come back to the old path. Grow your own food. Make it acceptable to your bodies. Most food today has been altered genetically. I mean, you know, they can grow a mouse as you in a potato or on a tomato. I'm serious. This thing is getting out of hand. Well, that's exactly what happened in the negative state of Genesis chapter 6, where they begin to lust and break God's holy commandments. Now, the first world that perished was the same world of those that actually survived the death of the first world. You see, our problem and dilemma is, if we're eternal beings, we can't escape. God himself, the will of the Father, didn't create you to be a temporary experience seeking a fleshly existence. He made you a eternal spirit seeking a temporary flesh existence to learn how to get the oil, how to secure your right to inheritance. Mark 3:29, he that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness. Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I will say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up, he shuts the door, and they begin to stand without and knock unto him, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not from whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, well, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you've taught in our streets. But he, the master, the will maker, shall say, I tell you, I don't know who or whence you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves at first out. For I say unto you that none of you shall taste my supper. Are you sure that you're in the will of God? Are you in a negative state where, you know, you have thought up your way and you're always trying to justify your way rather than God's way? The Bible said, if thou first be a will in mind, it seems just as hard to get into a will in mind as it is to do the things, the tasks that's set before you. The Bible said to run the race before you that's set before you with patience. And in daily, those things which are necessary to add to your faith, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Everybody wants you to start out perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll make many failures. You'll make many false starts. You will be out of the will more than in the will, but keep trucking. If thou first is the will of man to pursue the Father to the end, and those that endure to the end shall be saved. Are you ready for the coming things that are coming upon the earth? Look at the water shortages. You may not live in an area where right now that you are hurting for water, but there is a think tank that works for the government that says by 2030 that two-thirds of the earth will be suffering a shortage, a severe shortage of water, and that wars could erupt over water rights. Oh, my. Well, we know that Lebanon is cutting off the flow of the water that flows into the Jordan, coming out of the upper mountain basin there in Syria through Lebanon into Israel, and that there is already a threatened retaliation for cutting off or diverting any of the water that would flow into Israel. Well, notice this. Does a potter have power over the clay? Almighty God, and his will in you is to perfect you. You are the temple of God. God does not dwell in temples made by hand. Get your silly carnal mind off the idea that God somehow is going to come back to planet Earth and sit in a stone temple. He lasts about as long as I would if I was able to preach the revelations that I know. He lasted 33 years the first time. He wouldn't last 33 minutes the second time he returned to Earth to sit in a physical body. He ain't coming back nowhere at any time to sit in a physical location upon planet Earth for our flesh, as some think, that they'll come up and worship and bow, and all the people on the Earth will come in their flesh bodies up to worship him. There is no scripture anywhere that says that Christ will ever come back and set his feet upon this planet. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, it's written that he's going to set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. Are you 2,000 years behind or what? You say, well, it's written that he's going to send Elijah before he's coming. Are you 2,000 years behind or what? Get with the program here. That's already happened. What does it really say? It says he'll send his angels to gather up the elect from the four corners of the earth. His agents, his angels, some have entertained them unaware. They're the least appreciated. That's men and women that are living in flesh bodies right now upon this earth. The coming of Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and they're going forth trying to gather up a people that will be converted and understand with their heart that they might get healed. But as the old saying goes, they love darkness better than light, and they love to follow the blind rather than those that have the sight. Oh, yeah. That's the secret of negative powers in the earth. The man named Legion. The only thing that was wrong with him, that the earth, or the people in the earth at that time, couldn't understand that he had a battle of the will in his mind, and he was more perplexed than the average Joe. Every man, woman, or child, at some point, has the Legionnaire disease called the confused state of the mind, and what it will do and what it will accept, which way it will go, which way it will turn, because the carnal mind is always trying to go against the divine covenant will of God and do that which is contrary and to honor the flesh or please the flesh. The flesh is always the ultimate. Balance of thought when man is involved. Man always does it for the gain or the pleasure of the flesh. Those that suffer with him will reign with him. Those that go against the flesh, against the law, against the times, against the traditions. Well, I know that Santa Claus ain't real, but my children, you know, they need to participate in Santa Claus stuff. Well, I mean, if that's what turns you on and trips your switch, go for the Santa Claus deal. If not, once you find you a place to go on December the 25th and have you a meeting somewhere where you can meet with brothers and sisters that know better and fellowship on a spiritual plane and congregate with angels unaware. Those who suffer, those who teach, those who promote the truths are the most hated people upon the earth. They're despised even among their own, and they have no respect even in their families. They're prophets and teachers and evangelists and deacons, men of faith without honor. Why? Because they will not conform to the world, and they hear the word of Yahweh. Jeremiah 6:30 said, reprobated silver shall men call them, because Yahweh hath rejected them. If you don't measure up to the standards of the will of God and the will done in you. See, when the will is done upon the earth, God wasn't talking about all the earth getting together and singing hallelujah, or even so come, or away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. I mean, that's a Christmas carol. That only happens on December the 25th in the Christmas pageantry that they followed up. That song's only played then. That's a traditional song. At Christmas, we play those type of songs. But can you make melody in your heart daily as you confide in the Father and the Spirit and the will of God? Are you having a will in mind that is acceptable? Yeah, you may not be in position. You may not have the monetary capabilities of coming out of the world. The reason why is because you want too much for yourself. The Bible says, with food and raiment, be content. Are you willing to sell what you've got to conform to the will of God? Of course not. That's too much of a sacrifice, Pastor Buddy. I wouldn't dream of doing that. Isaiah 65, verse 12, therefore I will number you to the sword as one coming for this country. The visionaries of the past, I can name several, have done stated that a time of trouble such as the world has never seen is due now to come upon the earth and will try all them that dwell as gold and silver is tried. Reprobate silver, oh, that's dross, that means rejectable silver that is tainted, not pure. Almighty God's will in you is to do the will of God and honor the Word. You're always trying to get out of the honor of the Word rather than get in it. I can tell a man's spirit real quick if he's trying to undress the Word and get out of dressing up in it, then he's a pretender. Fooling or deceiving his own self by saying and doing not. And the Bible said, from such turn away and don't have nothing to do with them. Don't even wish them any house or wish them Godspeed. And there's so many out there against the will of God with their conscience seared with a hard iron and have no respect for the true Word of God or the people of God. We're all giving homage to those who call themselves Jews and are not, but are liars. But every time you get up and preach against it, you're anti-Semitic. How can you be anti-Semitic when you're white, Aryan, Israelite, out of the bloodline of Jacob? At least I hope you are. Not all white people are, contrary to some thinking. But if you're born of the bloodline of Jacob and his seed remains in you, God Almighty's got a place for you, and within his will, he's got a mansion or a crown laid up for them that love and serve him, and to serve him, you've got to reign with him, and to reign with him, you've got to suffer. So those that suffer with him are right. Well, down at the bottom line, I'm coming back. I'm feeling like preaching. Well, welcome back, friends. This is Pastor Buddy. Praise Yahweh. This is Thursday evening, and we're right into the Word of Yahweh, and we're talking about the will of God in our life. Now, negative eyes. What's that mean? Everybody, including myself, are full of negative eyes. We're so quick to see the faults of others and can't recognize the negatives of eyes in us. The negative eyes are many, and the sensual mind is where they live. They live right in the carnal mind, which is not subject to God, and every man's way seems right in his own negative eye. It's like a tomb to the inner man. Remember that I gave you the scriptures of the man named Legion in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 89. Christ responded to the demons that cried out. They were actually communicating with them. That was the negative forces that had occupied this man's mind and bound him within the inner tomb. He was bound in the tombs physically, literally, but inside he was bound deeper than any chain could ever hold. And sometimes men are walking around as sepulchres, graveyards, if you will, dead, full of dead men's bones. And the Bible said, let the dead bury the dead. You've got to free yourself from your own graveyard. Quit looking at others that are dead when you yourself are possibly twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and God is last year's bird's nest in your negative eyes. The tomb of the inner spiritual man, bound by the negative eyes, I did this, I did that, I did this, and I'm justified this, I'm justified that, I'm better than this, I'm better than that. I don't cut it, ladies and gentlemen. Negative emotions harm us by their methods as they come, very subtle, and they darken everything like the fish that can eject ink. Every time someone comes in to analyze or to explore the spiritual intentions of that being, then man and his negative ions give off this ejecting ink smokescreen to keep us from looking down into the depths of the soul. I'm talking about spiritual men that are able to look into the very heart and the intent, because the word is a discerner. And those who are skilled technicians are master surgeons in the word, discerning even the thought and intent of the heart. And that's where that we get these terrible wars against the will of God. If you look into the mythology of Hydra, the serpent, you see his many tentacles, or his arms, fastening on every weak thing in your psychological makeup. That's how Satan invades the mind. And that's how he keeps us chained to habits. And an old preacher used to tell me, the way to replace a bad habit is put a good one in its place. And that ain't bad advice. But we are so chained to the carnal bad habits, it's like having many arms laced into a straitjacket, and we're actually tied up within the emotional disturbances of our mind or our will against Father's will. Most of us, man, if you look at the hospitals and mental institutions, the doctor's offices, the psychological counseling centers around, particularly in the United States, which leads the whole world in against the will of God, this nation is the most sinful nation upon the earth. And yet we got more Christians per nation of any nation upon the earth. Professing Christians. With their mouth, they draw near, but their heart, their professing heart, is wrapped up in the negative ions of their own beings as they justify everything they do and condemn everybody else. It's the lockup of the inner man. Free him. Cleanse your inner thought process. Clean up. Put the armor on, the armor of life, the armor of love, and then come out of the negative state, fasten your thoughts on every weak thing in your psychological makeup that you need to work on yourself, cast the beam out of your own eye, then you can see the mote in your brother's, and then, man, you're going to be able to be washed, sanctified, and meant for the Master's use. Now, washed and sanctified. That sanctification is a word after washing a lot of people don't want to do. They want to get washed, but they don't want to get sanctified. For sanctification, wholly given to the divine purpose of adding daily to the church such as need to be saved. Make the mission in your heart not to tear down, but to build, to add to, not to take from, to hold rather than to destroy, to build up rather than to tear down, to add to the positive things and overlook the negatives. You know, if we were to just go around and look for a perfect person we could relate to, then you'd be looking at the mirror, you'd be standing in the mirror. That type of personality would stand in the mirror and look at himself. And so I can't wait till tomorrow gets here. Because tomorrow I'm going to be so much better looking than I am today. That's basically a state of unreasonable circumstances of the negative eye. And the Bible said if the eye is evil, it can't be full of light. The esoterical teaching, the hidden things. See, he hid these things. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And these are the positive eyes versus the negative eyes. And we're so many times put on the negative glasses of flesh and carnality that we can see the spiritual value of what the Father's tried to give us in his basic fundamental laws that he set up. 2 and 2 is 4. That's the schoolmaster teaching, and we're still under it. That's a universal law. Can only change. You can only change. Let the dead bury the dead. The dead are those who are dead to working upon themselves. And so bringing change to themselves, this change can only come if you do not take life in a negative eye. But, like the old saying goes, if life fills you a lemonade, squeeze and sell lemonade. Or if it deals you a lemon, squeeze and sell lemonade. That's a pretty good saying, because you got to agree that the present conditions of the world is terrible. Well, ain't nothing you're going to do to make it even better. You can't make one hair gray and one black, as far as that goes. Well, what can you do to make the kingdom of heaven better? The world ain't going to get no better. It's prophesied that it'll wax worse and worse. So don't pray for the world to get better. Pray for you to be better in the world, to be a brighter light to shine to those who are in these tombs of psychological enslavement to their own minds, of the major ions of their life, I, this, I, that, and it is I, not you or me. So, love God, Mark 12:29, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, if you love him like that, and you really do love him, not to be seen, or not to be heard, or not to make a big name for yourself, because, let me tell you something, the more you preach and reach out to touch someone, the more resentment. The demons fought Christ in legion. They fought against him taking over this man's spirit mind and ruling within. He said, come out. After he found out their name, they said legion, because that is the word applied to many. There were many demons there resting in the psychological imbalance of the mind, overweighted, and the spirit man of legion, because the Bible said when the people came out to see what the master had done to a man named legion, they came out and found this vicious, wild, uncontrollable, demonic-filled, evil being that they kept chained in the tombs. They found him free of the chains, clothed, sitting at the feet of the Messiah, and in his right mind. Now, you say, well, I don't have those psychological problems. There's more psychological problems in people that don't think they've got them than in people that know they do. I'll repeat that. There are more shortcomings in those who do not recognize Legion, only recognized his shortcomings through the oppressive spirits that were many in him to provoke him. Most of them have these little subtle demons sitting on their shoulders, talking to him daily. A little whispering friend of negativity. Nothing ever right. Seeing the faults of others. These are the condemners. Man told me one time, he said, Pastor Buddy, let me tell you something. It's harder to gather in than it is to let them out. And that's a true saying. It's harder to go out and win someone. It takes hours. I have literally sat at the feet of people that I knew that had psychological craft and trying to help and trying to reason. Suffer with one another, the Bible said. Spending many hours. Leading a blind man around for years before he ever regained his sight. He was a close friend of mine. He taught me more than a person that could see with his natural eye. This man had an inner vision of what life was all about and the realities. And I lived his world through him and through his eyes, his inward eye. He saw more than I could ever hope to see, and he taught me more than I've ever hoped to know. And the best way to appreciate life if you don't have but one eye, which my dad only had one eye, is to go out and find somebody that don't have any. Do you appreciate the one you got? Most people don't even appreciate those that mean so much to them, they never express it in any way, until they're gone or until they're missing, and then they cry the blues and, you know, they're knocking on your door. And they're pestering the hell out of you, trying to live in the past. You can change one thing in the past. You can pick up the pieces of the past, try to analyze them, and see why they happen to you. They happen for an example. They happen to better you. They happen to progress you. They happen to enlighten you. And if you can learn from those mistakes that you made in the past, you can live proper and good in the present, that you may have a resting place in the future. If you believe in the cardinal law of you shall reap what you sow, if you're sowing spite, discord, and all the things that go with a negative mind of I, rather than bearing the weakness, if you're falsely accused, bear it and go on. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Hold your peace. And then the Father eventually will approve all things and work all things together in the love of Yahweh. He'll never let you down. David failed miserably, but he was a type of the failure of the expression of the humbleness that it takes for man to return back to God after the fall. Adam failed, and he hid himself. David failed, and instead of hiding himself, he ran to the altar, and he grabbed the horns of the altar, and he prayed. And we agonized, and we confessed his sins before the Father. And the Bible said if you are willing to confess your sins, he's willing and just to forgive them. Because he knows your shortcomings. You can't hide anything from the Father no way, because nothing here that ain't going to be revealed sooner or later. The devil see that it all gets told on you, if they know anything of you or on you. And most of the time, if they know a little, they'll say a whole lot. They'll add to it. They'll enhance it. They'll enlarge it to make it more believable, because they're out to crucify you, out to damn you, out to kill you, out to steal you, and out to destroy you. That's the negative ions in people that think they're doing God a service, when in reality, they would have been much better off just keep their mouth shut and let the I, the I, and the AA, and hold on and let God avenge every injustice. Because, you know, after we're judged, we want to run and prove ourselves. If you just hold fast, you're a good man. If you've got good quality, and good character, and you're going to, although you fall like David did, David had a man killed just to get his wife. That was a terrible sin, and it almost ruined his political career. You had to act frank and work fast to forbid that. Now, he didn't do a massive cover-up. He just took his licking, because when the prophet came to him and told him what he'd done, the Bible said he repented at the altar. And he prayed and said, Father, help me. I've sinned against you and your kingdom. Help me to be a better man. And so the Father did. He helped him to be a better man. He added to him and he blessed him. And he said, I found David a servant after my own heart. He certainly didn't find his son Solomon, who in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 and 3, the Bible said he departed in his later days and he went out whoring after the strange flesh of the strange women outside the kingdom. He was a negative eye. David was a positive you. The I and the you. I in you and you in me. I in you and you in me. See, if you will take the I, the negative I of yourself, surrender to the will of God, walk up to the altar, confess your faults and your sins, accept the crucifixion of the people. They're going to give you one. They're going to slay you, nail you to the tree and crucify you and give you 40 lashes if they can. And they will. And you probably deserve it. But are you able to take the licking as the time adds and keep on ticking? That's the essentialness. The Father tries everyone that he receives, and after you receive the chastisements of life, you're still ticking. Then the Father says, well, I think I can use that guy. Well, we've got people. Dr. Gary gave a lecture that still sticks out in my mind. He wrote on the blackboard two words, and the words were total commitment or unobstructed commitment, undeniable commitment. That's what you have to have. You have to have the willingness. Some people wait till they get rich before they can give. But the Bible says, give out of the little you've got to add to the many blessings that you will receive. If you're faithful in little, you're going to be faithful in much. If you can't be faithful in a little, then the Father knows you can't be faithful. And that's when he tries you on that relationship, and everybody says, well, when my ship comes in, then I'll give. I'll help. I'll buy a piece of property. We'll have communal living, and I'll take care of the check. I'll just pick up the check. No, you wouldn't. Because if the same spirit that chokes a 50-cent piece will choke a $1,000 bill, the same spirit, if that type of spirit is within you, you got to have that spirit changed. That's the negative I on. You got to get rid of it and get the positive you on. A Father in you, the hope of glory, and live like there's no tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Meaning that I like free-hearted people. I've known a few good people. People give you the automobile to drive home if you break down and face this nature, and I'm really impressed when people can do that. There's very few people can do that. People loan you a bed, sleep in, and sleep on the floor. People pull out their last dollar and give it to you. And I'm not trying to say that they do this to get recognition. They some that do that. But for those that don't care whether they get recognition, now they do it out of the nature of their spirit. Like the little woman give all she had. She didn't think about what she'd done. She done one of the greatest things. But Father highlighted it and told them. He said, oh, where you go preach this gospel? He said, let this be told. Like he told about the woman that poured the precious ointment on his head. He said, this is precious ointment. We need to sell this Judas said, and give it to the poor. Big deal. He wasn't wanting to give it to the poor. He had one of those negative iron spirits. Christ knew what kind of spirit he was. He knew he was a devil. He didn't have him fooled. Christ knows you. You can't fool him. You can't fool yourself. So the one you need to look at is in the mirror. And there, if you choke a 50-cent piece, if you can't get 50 cents, if you got 50 cents to your name, and you see your brother needing, and you can buy 2 cups of coffee, and you can have 2 cups of coffee with 50 cents, or 1 cup with a quarter, and your brother can have one. What would you do? If you got 2 cups, what are you supposed to do? Give your brother one. And yet, our spirits sometimes get hard and say, "Well, let him get his like I got mine. I work for mine. Let him get him a car. I work for mine. He's a sorry piece of trash." We're always quick to put people down, and it's very hard for somebody to stand on your shoulders and see over your head. And that's the type of spirit we need. Put the person on your shoulders. Lift them up. Don't criticize or crucify with a negative irons. Raise them up above. Put them on your shoulders. If you've got an enemy, bless him. Feed him. And in doing so, you're going to heap coals of fire on their head. That's what the prophecies of the scripture is. I know it's a hard lesson. It's a lesson in positive. My will be done. Are you sure that God's will is being done in your life? Tonight, are you ready to face the challenges of tomorrow? We got a lot of things coming down the pike. You better get ready. Better dig in. But the first thing to do is analyze is you. Quit worrying about the world situation. It ain't going to get no better. Matter of fact, it's going to get worse. Are you prepared to face yourself, not the world? Face yourself. You can face yourself. You can sleep with yourself tonight and know that you've done your very best to do your very best that very day. You're living in the now. Don't take no thought for tomorrow. If you got 50 cents, you're willing to share half that or more with your brother, then you could do that with 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, 200,000, or 10 million. Same spirit that controls the money. It's not the amount. It's the spirit that is in control of it. That's what I'm talking about. All right, praise y'all. Like Pastor Brady Shepherd's call. I've got to get out of here tonight. My time is coming gone. It's been a wonderful hour. I have certainly enjoyed ministering to you in the Word. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh is blessing his people in the last days. I want to talk about the coming shift and things of this nature, and I'll try to get in that tomorrow night with you. Praise Yahweh, and show you the negative ions that's coming down the pike, and there's plenty of them to come. So dig in, get ready. If you'd like to call me tonight, Pastor Buddy, that's area code 423-626-2172. If you would like to write me, Post Office Box 2284, got a call out of Canada today, a man talked to me for over 2 hours. Very concerned about his soul and his position, what's going on, needed answers to a lot of questions. We talked and had a wonderful fellowship. I appreciate people that will. I'm sure the call cost him $50 to call down here. It's a very expensive call from Canada or from the United States into Canada. So I appreciate that. Men will take time out of their life and pay price to talk and have fellowship. That's great. Praise Yahweh. So if you need counsel, if you need something I can help you with, I don't know a little about everything, but I know everything about my father. That is V.E. That's one word. Praise Yahweh. So, let's have fellowship together. Yahweh bless you. Write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to email Pastor Buddy tonight, and I'd like to hear from you, I don't know where we're coming in tonight. If we're coming in real good, why don't you give me a mail. And remember my sponsors now. That's Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, and Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7321. Pastor Buddy, I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on Worldwide Truth Radio. Stay tuned in the morning at 7 a.m. You'll hear Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call on Truth, and then following that, you'll hear my good buddy Clay. So stay tuned. Yahweh bless you.
Praise Yahweh.